Oh, that's right. It's 4:07 in the afternoon. That means it must be time for Meet Me at the Diner. Yes, that award-winning show that I host right here from the back of Sharp Facets Gallery. And today my very special guest is Al Capone. Oh, gosh, my glasses. It's Jerry Capone with the gunsmithing program out there at Piedmont Tech. How you doing today, Jerry?
Fantastic, Ann. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always good to sit down and talk about guns, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, people like to talk about them.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and it's a subject that a lot of people are on a lot of different sides of, but one thing that is for sure, the program out there at Piedmont Tech certainly teaches people how to make money repairing, adding different stocks to them, doing all the things. I guess you can even make a gun, can't you?
Yeah, that's what our students do.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit, what exactly is the program, how long does it last, and what is the outcome supposed to be if one is successful in the program?
Well, thank you, Ann, for having me. Our gunsmithing program is a two-year program, four semesters long. They go all year round. They can finish in about 15 months. Our students, when they leave our program, will either open up their own business, work for one of the large manufacturing companies here in the state or the southeast, and some of them will go to work for mid-sized companies as gunsmiths in either repairing, manufacturing, refinishing firearms for the public.
Okay. So, and this program teaches all different aspects of it.
Oh, and if we had hours and hours, we can go into it. Basically, our students start in their first semester learning old craft. They're not allowed to use power tools. They are given files and hacksaws. They have to make
sounds like a prison outbreak to me.
Yeah, I'm sure some of the students would agree with you. They do complain initially. By the time they've graduated, they realize the importance of fitting parts by hand, that when an older firearm comes in for repair, there may or may not be a part available. If there is, it has to be fitted, meaning the part may be too big for the gun that they're working on. So there are no machines that do that. You have to use a file. Parts are made of metal to polish it, make it fit correctly. Sometimes they have to make the part. It's no longer available. Today's world, you can get parts for a Corvette 1963, but finding parts for a 1935 Remington is impossible.
Well, so it's kind of like old watches.
They're often
making parts because they just don't make them anymore.
Exactly. It's the same principle. They'll start there, learn basic stock refinishing, basic bluing to preserve metal, cycle of operations of how the different action types work. They'll have lecture courses on safety and business in first semester. Second semester is machine shop. In that one, that program, they do learn to make a firearm essentially from scratch, barrels, receivers, triggers, bolts. 80% of the time in machine shop is spent in practicing the skills to do that, and the last 10 or 20% they actually make their own firearm. They get an introduction into welding in second semester. Their lecture courses are ballistics and sights. Then they'll go to third semester, which is stock making. The biggest project is a block of wood they will carve for the firearm they made in second semester. And we use the American Custom Gunmakers Guild, a guild, the old system of high-end craftsmanship. We use their criteria for building an American sporting classic. So the student has no say in what this firearm or this stock will look like. It'll have a piece of African ebony as a fore-end tip, contoured grip cap, nice recoil pad, and some little touches on the stock. They'll also make a synthetic stock, which they have free rein in design, and they learn checkering. That is an old art that takes a very long time to develop, but we give them the basics on how to do it and the tools. Their lecture courses are military conversions and triggers.
Triggers, yeah.
How triggers work. There have been estimated 1 million models of firearms since the beginning of time. We couldn't possibly teach them triggers on every single one of those 1 million, but we can teach them the concept. All triggers are a lever with a fulcrum and a spring. If they can grasp that, then they can modify triggers for customer preference, be it a target shooter, a hunter, or a concealed carry person. From there, they'll go to fourth semester. Fourth semester is the repair shop. In the repair shop, they're issued 25 to 35 firearms we've collected from the public. As a matter of fact, I believe your husband donated
one last week
For our students to work on. And they will go through a series of special and safety checks, disassemble the firearm completely, every pin, nut, screw, bolt, clean them, oil them, dry them, leave them out for the instructor to inspect. They'll check the headspace for safety, and then they will do whatever service the customer had requested, either mechanical repair, stock refinish, re-bluing. And then they'll do a complete cost analysis to determine if they made a profit or not on that firearm.
Sure. So those are, that sounds like for somebody that is into that type of thing, that's a really cool way to learn all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Well, yes. Now, how many students do you have right now in the program?
I believe we have 34 right now.
Okay. And I know last time when you were here, there was talk of expanding. Is that still in the works?
Oh, yes. They're moving fairly rapidly with it. We're hoping within the year, 6 months to a year, we'll have our new facility.
Now, are you having to turn people down for the program?
We have a massive waiting list.
A massive waiting list?
I don't even want to get into the numbers. We're hoping with the expansion that we'll be down to a one-year waiting list.
Wow. How does that make you feel to have a class that's popular?
I understand I'm the envy of the other programs, but I have my own set of problems. So.
Right. Well, that's great, Jerry. That's really great. Well, we are here with Jerry Capone. We're going to be talking more about the gunsmithing program. We're going to be talking about a new class, beginning home safety, and they have also added quite a group of concealed weapons classes. So we're going to be talking about that too, as well as, what about the government trying to do away with bullets to the AR-15s? And what about those 3D printers? Can they print guns? Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. How you doing this afternoon? Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, we're talking with Jerry Capone. We are not talking with Al Capone. We're talking with Jerry Capone. Jerry, you know, you've been here with this program for how long now?
About a year and a half, Ann.
About a year and a half. And what were you doing before?
I had my own repair shop, restoration, customization in Pickens County.
Pickens County. Well, let me just ask you. Are you enjoying this more now, or what was the reason that you changed, and how has it affected?
I got a start in teaching before coming here one day a week with Clemson University, firearms training, shooting as an elective. And I thought it was interesting. I had a lot of fun with it. So when this opportunity presented itself, being not getting any younger, I thought it would be a great opportunity to give back. I am loving it. I enjoy my students. We have a good time. They're small classes. We get to know each other well as friends, ultimately. It's been extremely rewarding for me.
Well, that's good. So you would view this as a positive change?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear because, you know, if you've, you said you, the only thing I think you said is that you're impatient to move the needle, right, and move the classes forward for bigger classes, more space. I know you were even talking about getting some additional space, and I'll bet you are like most small business owners. Why can't we do it now?
Yeah, I'm an impatient person. I know that, and the people I work with know that, and they're great with tempering my exuberance with being cautious.
Sure, absolutely. I understand, but still, there is that, you know, when you've been in your own business, you realize you have to get it done sooner rather than later is always better.
You're just trying to get me in trouble, Ann.
No, I'm a business person, too, and I know how that is. Why do we have to wait till tomorrow? Yeah, okay. But I know it's exciting because you do have vision about what the program can become.
Yeah, and everybody at the college shares in that. They like the idea. They like where we want to go with this. They're behind it 110% from Dr. Brooks all the way down. I know it'll happen. It just takes time.
Sure, but it's an excellent program. You know, one of the things I would be interested in is why did Piedmont Tech start a gunsmithing program? I mean, that's not a program you hear at every tech school around.
No, it started before I got here, and how I understand it, there were two things. One was the exodus of firearm manufacturers from typically the Northeast looking to relocate in a more gun-friendly environment. It is my understanding the state encouraged them to come here and wanted to have a trained workforce for them as an incentive. At the same time, manufacturing was beginning to leave the area. Mm-hmm. And the college had a large machine shop facility that wasn't as full as it could have been. So gunsmithing, which utilizes machine tool technology to a large extent, fit in quite well, and it satisfied two needs at one time.
Well, that's pretty neat from that standpoint. And again, it goes back to manufacturing, to jobs, and what is needed in the area. You know,
exactly.
This is exactly what we're talking about. Yesterday, we had Heather Simmons-Jones with the Partnership Alliance on. We were talking about assessing the needs of what the manufacturers that are particularly coming into our area will need, and making sure that we have classes and people that are ready to work when they do come into this
exactly.
area.
Exactly. Yeah. So the college had quite a bit of vision back then.
Really? Really, it did. So 34 students now. How many students have actually, do you have any idea how many students have been through the program since they started? How many graduates there have been? Roughly?
About 200, 250 would be my estimate.
And some of them, I guess, work for some of the gun manufacturers.
Yes. Last year, three of our graduates, two went and worked at, got jobs at FN, and one, I believe, with Marlin Winchester.
Okay. And then the other, is there anybody that just does it from a hobby aspect, or are most going in some type of business part of this?
Most going into some business. We do have, typically each class, one gentleman about my age, not real young, who's looking for a hobby to make a few dollars on the side. Always had a love affair with firearms, I guess, and will open a small shop and do only what they really enjoy doing. maybe building a custom rifle or stock work.
So the age group of most of the people that are in your class are?
Oh, it runs from 18 to 70.
18 to 70.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am. The average is 34.
34. So those are people maybe that have done something else and are now saying this might be a good career choice.
Exactly. We have a fair number of veterans. These are young men, typically mid-20s to mid-30s, who serve their country and now have benefits due them.
Does that program qualify for veterans benefits?
Yes, it covers every aspect of the program, from their tools, books, and tuition.
Wow. So that's a good program as far as that goes. Now, the other thing is, do you have to be certified to work on guns or anything? Or does the fact that you have this certificate from the program, is there any other state or federal regulations that you have to do this?
No, this all falls under the Second Amendment. It shall not be infringed.
The Second Amendment.
Yeah, we're talking about that again, huh? there are no federal or state licensures for gunsmithing. The market dictates who is successful. Students who have gone to a formal program like ours generally are quite successful. The other schools, as we do, prepare them for business and gunsmithing. There are a number of folks who have learned on their own, and some of them are very, very good at it. The vast majority we're not real happy with, but that is the law that anyone who wishes to hang out a shingle may. They generally fall by the wayside, and that's something we teach our students. Where I opened my shop, there were four or five amateur gunsmiths. They all had full-time jobs, kind of played with it a little bit on the side. They all went out of business, even on the side, once I had gone to the town, because I knew what I was doing and people were satisfied with the work I did. And a lot of the work I did was fixing the problems that
the other
guys did. So we teach our students, don't worry about, you know, the home hobbyist person. They're not a threat to you. You've been trained in all aspects of gunsmithing. Do what you're supposed to and the market will follow you.
Now, just out of curiosity, do they get the opportunity to have some business classes? And how, you know, I would think one of the hardest things to do, you can be somebody that knows how to do the job, but then the question is, how much do you charge for the job becomes the next question.
Yeah, there is a national survey put out by the largest supplier of gunsmithing equipment. They do the survey each year for the different services and what people charge. They give a range on an item, might be 50 to 100. Obviously, Atlanta would be 100, where Greenwood might be 60. Our students have to do a cost analysis on the firearms in that fourth semester of each gun that they do, with rent, water, electric, promotion, gasoline, travel, how many cleaning patches they used, what did that cost. How much did they charge for the service? What percentage markup on a part? And they do the math, right? And then they have to determine if they made a profit or not.
Sure. I think that's one of the most difficult things for somebody to do. We all know what we'd like to value our labor at, but then, of course, there's what the market will bear.
Exactly.
And then taking into account all the things that you need in order to accomplish the job.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think those are valuable lessons that sometimes get left aside, but that's part of what you do teach them.
Yes.
Yes, that's a good thing. Hey, I tell you what, I'm here with Jerry Capone. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this beginning home safety. We're going to be talking about some concealed weapon permit classes that they're teaching. And I don't know, we'll probably talk about a lot of other things. I still want to know about the 3D printers. So we may talk about some of that too, but South Carolina News is up.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafé mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. You know, Jerry, I would be interested to know why Piedmont Tech, the gunsmithing program, has really jumped into doing concealed weapon permits. When the schedule came out, I saw one right after the other after the other. Boy, you have a lot of them going on.
Yes, Ann. We do two classes a month, one on Tuesday and Thursday evenings from 6 to 9, with a Saturday for an hour for the qualification at the range portion. Then we have an all-day Saturday class, 8 in the morning till 4 or 5 in the afternoon, for those people who would rather just do it in one day. But our weekday classes are for the people who work weekends, want to spend a Saturday on the lake.
Sure.
This way they could do this during the week for a couple hours and get their qualification in.
Sure. Now, just out of curiosity, the people that are taking the concealed weapons permit, are these people that have already had experience with guns, or are you seeing a lot that don't have a lot of experience with firearms?
That's a great question, Ann. Years ago, the classes were predominantly men with a fair amount of firearm knowledge. Today, most of our classes are females with, unfortunately, very little or no experience with firearms. We talked earlier, I said at least over 50% of our classes are people with no experience with firearms, which is sad on one hand and a little scary on the other. The concealed weapons class program set up by the state was really set up to make sure somebody knew the basics and were competent with a firearm that they could hit a target. It wasn't designed to be a teaching moment on what a firearm is. We try to be courteous and helpful with all our students because, again, over half of them now have no knowledge that we
it's
will do
scary,
that with them.
Isn't it, Jerry?
It is a little bit. I think we also try to give them a little fear that they're holding a lot of responsibility in their hand. And we drive that point home. I think that sombers quite a few of them up to realize they do need additional training.
Sure. And just because you have a concealed weapon doesn't mean you know how to operate it, then, is what I'm getting right here. Or when is the appropriate time to actually pull it out, and can you pull it out and use it?
Yeah, and there's two parts to that question. One is the legal part. What does the state of South Carolina allow for the use of deadly force? And then there's the individual. At what point are they comfortable, for lack of a better word, or ready to use that deadly force? We're all different human beings.
Sure. And then, of course, there is the, I guess, we've had a big change in the type of crimes that were out there. When I was growing up and everything, I was always told, just let them have it. You know, if they want your wallet, if they want your purse, you can get another purse, you can get another wallet. Just let them have it. If they want money, just let them have it. That seems to have changed some today.
Yeah, we were talking about that we're from the same generation of criminals, especially thieves, just wanted the money. They
right.
gave it to them, they went away. I'm not up on all the studies, but from what I have read, drugs are playing a huge role, that the criminals now who are robbing are of the mindset a dead witness is better than a live one. Yeah, it's sad, but that seems to be a big problem. And I think this has driven many people to look into a concealed weapon permit as a way of protecting themselves or their families.
And I do think that what we see in the media what we see so many shootings and this type of thing. It just seems to me, you know, it's not a lovely day in the neighborhood anymore. It's just can be pretty overwhelming when you see all the things that are happening. Maybe not so much in Greenwood, although we have a lot more crime in reported in the Index Journal, but across our country.
Yeah, crime has been with us since Adam and Eve or Cain and Abel. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. If it's up or not, I'm not really up on that, but I do know that
it's more people, in your face.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. So I guess from that standpoint, but I still think it would take a lot to pull out that gun and be prepared to shoot somebody in a situation.
Yeah, avoiding the problem is the best answer. This is part of the concealed weapons class that we teach. The chief of police on campus, Terry Ledford, has put together a small video of avoidance. What are the signs, the physical signs that people give you that they may be up to no good? Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to avoid a problem than to fight your way out of it with a firearm. We encourage people during that class, pay attention to that video. It's easy to say, don't go down a dark alley. We're all pretty up on that one. But the body gestures of what a criminal is doing, how he's sizing you up, can you see that first? And can you disrupt his thought pattern to make him think twice?
Yeah.
That you are not easy prey. Being confident.
Is that where having that gun that you can pull out and say, I'm carrying?
Well, no, you can't do that. That's brandishing.
Right.
That is against the law. However, studies have shown that when you look and act assertive, mm-hmm, and in control, most criminals will leave you alone. They are looking for the person who's looking down, who looks timid, who looks like easy prey.
That's the same thing that an animal looks at another animal.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
Exactly. And there are some people with just knowing they have a firearm on them may be that little extra that gives them confidence to disrupt the chain of thought of the criminal. Mm. That may be also.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you have a lot, as I said, a lot of concealed weapon classes. Now, when is the next one coming up?
The next concealed weapons class is April 14th and 18th. That's Tuesday and Thursday night.
Okay.
The Saturday class will be April 18th. And then we have every month, it's always the second week of the month that we do those classes.
Okay. So that's going to be very good. Now, how much do the classes cost?
The classes are $75 a person. We include pretty much everything. We provide the firearm, the holster, the eye, ear protection, the target. We do the fingerprinting. We have all the applications and all the paperwork. We even give you an envelope to put everything in to mail off to SLED. The only two items we ask a participant to bring is a belt to hold the holster, and 50 rounds of .22 ammunition. We just can't get that much ammo for a large class. Most people can come up with 50 rounds at a local retailer.
Sure. Well, that brings us to another question. Why was the government, you know, they've tried to take away Second Amendment rights. Was the ammunition grab for the AR-15s, was that to try to keep people from having ammunition, therefore their gun is useless?
It would appear so.
Yeah, it would appear so.
Their rationale was ammo in a typical AR-style firearm can pierce police body armor.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but so can every other rifle ammunition in the world. It was no special ammunition from a .223, or that's the caliber, the name of that cartridge. used primarily in the AR-15, which is the most popular firearm by sportsmen and collectors today. So it would seem that it was a backdoor attempt. Yes.
Right. It failed, folks, just in case you don't know. It did fail because there was such an outpouring to all our Congress and senators, et cetera. So it did fail, but it was another try. Hey, I'm Ann Eller here with Jerry Capone. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. How you doing this afternoon? Are you ready to take your concealed weapon permit? There is a lot of paperwork to get a concealed weapons permit, isn't there?
A little bit. It's not horrible.
But what basically do you have to be in order to get a concealed weapons permit?
Probably be easier to tell you what you can't be.
Okay.
You can't be a convicted felon. You can't be a drug user. You cannot be an illegal alien. You have to be a citizen of the United States. You may not have renounced your citizenship. There is a form you fill out, basic information on there with some questions of have you used drugs or not. You will send that application in with a form that the school and I fill out that you have completed the firearms and legal training and passed the shooting test with your fingerprint cards. And then you'll send a check for $50 to SLED for the processing of the background check. So it's not that much paperwork, but there is a little bit, yes.
Okay. And so, and then you have to be fingerprinted too, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. All right. So you give all this to the state, to SLED, and then they'll send you back a permit and say that you can carry. Now, do you actually have a card or something that you have to show law enforcement that you are certified to be able to carry?
Yeah, one of the parts of the legal end of the course is whenever you are approached by a law enforcement officer and asked for identification, you must produce your carry permit. Only if you're carrying. If you're not carrying, you don't have to produce that. But you must present that to a law enforcement officer. We encourage students, even if they're not carrying and they're driving their car and they have a firearm, let's say, in the glove box, that when they get pulled over, don't reach for your insurance card in the glove box.
Until you've shown them.
You've told the police officer when he's asked you for identification, you produce your driver's license and your concealed weapons permit. Let him know that you are a concealed weapons permit holder and that you have a firearm in the glove box, which also houses your insurance and registration, if that's how you happen to do that. Let him tell you what he wants you to do. Understand you're making a good impression of a bad guy when you reach for a glove box with a firearm in it.
And you didn't bother to tell him, oh,
exactly,
by the way, I've got this permit. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Now, to talk about a little bit about how Piedmont Tech and your school there has tried to address the safety issues and handling guns and everything, for those that aren't familiar with doing it, you've come up with a beginning home safety class.
Yes, our program started this last year. We put it together last year, and we'll be offering it for the first time this May 4th, and it'll run through June 22nd. It'll be on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m., and it's 7 weeks long. It's for the beginner. I had said earlier there are 8 action types, pistol, revolver, semi-auto, shotgun, pump shotgun, break open shotgun, semi-auto rifle, bolt action rifle, and a lever action rifle. Each one is unique in how they're both loaded and unloaded and how they're cleaned and how you handle them. We had said earlier that a lot of homes now may not have somebody in them who know about firearms, and maybe a firearm is found in the attic, in a closet, under the bed, whatever the case may be, that we want people to be able to unload a firearm safely. And our program we've gotten from the National Wild Turkey Federation donated firearms from Mossberg that are non-firing firearms. They look like real firearms and work just like them, except they don't fire. And we use these in the class to show people what those types all look like, how to unload them, how to load them, and handle them. We also have them bring their children on the last day of class so that they can show the child what these guns look like. The biggest problem with children and accidents with firearms is curiosity. When I was a little boy, my father was a police officer, and he brought me in the room, gave me the lecture on safety, had in his unloaded revolver, and said, essentially, go play with it while I'm watching you. And I'm a little kid, and pull the trigger, and I'm all happy. Well, the curiosity is gone. I never cared to look at another one, so to speak, after that. So we have the mother or the grandmother or the grandfather, whoever it may be, teach safety to the child. And it's all age-appropriate. Parents, grandparents know their children better. But we use the NRA program. It's called Eddie Eagle. And in Eddie Eagle, the children are taught to stop, don't touch the firearm, leave the room, get an adult. But we want the children to get the curiosity out of them. But we also teach the parents, if they are going to keep those different firearms, how to clean them, how to take care of them, how to store them safely, keep them locked, be it in safes or trigger locks or cable locks. So we have examples of dozens of different locking systems to help families secure firearms so that children won't get hurt.
Well, it sounds like a great program. Now, how much does that program cost?
That's $149. And what I believe the college continuing ed is doing is if somebody takes the beginner course, they'll get a discount on the concealed weapons course. And we are encouraging folks who have never used a firearm before to take the beginner course first, prior to the concealed weapons. You don't have to, but we would encourage it strongly. And we will give a financial discount to the concealed weapons class with the beginner class having been completed.
And I guess you came up with this because, like we were talking about before, in your concealed weapons, you've got so many, particularly women, who have no experience with handling guns.
Yeah, exactly. And it's no fault of their own, the way it's on TV, that they believe it's a training course, the concealed weapons permit course. It is a course that's mandated for getting the permit. We're not supposed to teach, but we do it if we have to, if we do have people there. But we can't cover very much in the time allotted, both by the state and the college itself. So the beginner course would be so helpful for these people to understand how to aim and how to shoot and how each of those different types of firearms function and their purposes. We were talking earlier where we asked concealed weapon permit students why they are taking the course. Sure. And under what circumstance. And generally speaking, it's for protection. That makes sense. But then we ask them where. And it's not just for carrying in public. They also want the firearm for protection at home. Again, that makes sense. Unfortunately, we have to get into the specifics of firearms that a pistol, while appropriate while you're walking, is maybe not the best answer in an apartment complex. that bullets from a pistol can pierce walls. And the law is you are responsible where that bullet winds up. You don't want to be hitting an innocent child in the next apartment. So perhaps a different type of firearm, maybe a shotgun, would be more appropriate in that setting. Now, if you live on 1,000 acres in the middle or outside of 96, you use whatever you want. We understand that. But we're becoming more of an urban culture, and people are living closer together. But even in a suburban neighborhood, a rifle is way too powerful for a home use situation.
Well, that is true, and just a word from experience here. Sometimes it's easier to learn it from somebody else than your husband.
Oh, most definitely. Ladies, don't bring your husband with you, please.
All right. Now, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. If somebody is interested in either of these courses, Jerry, where do they go? Do they at ptc.edu? Is there a sign up on the website?
Yes, they can go right to the college's website, go to Continuing Ed and follow the links. Or you can call them directly at 864-941-8602.
Okay. So give them a call, sign up, and hey, if you're interested in the two-year gunsmithing program, if you're looking for a new career, just love working with guns, I don't think you could do better than to talk to Jerry over there. He is the academic program director for gunsmithing. Jerry Capone, thanks so much for coming out today.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.